Our next presenter is Kristen Harden from Clemson University. She's assistant department head there. She's also the SPRO, the state plant regulatory official, all these new words that I learned, for South Carolina. She's an adjunct faculty member at Louisiana State University with 28 years of experience in the ag chemistry industry, and worked in government relations, product development, pesticide issues. She represents the National Plant Board on the Clean Plant Stock Network and Homeland Security for Food and Ag, section there. She's also a steering committee member for NORSDEC, and she's here to talk to us a little bit about Phytophthora harbinalis and regulating a new Phytophthora nursery detection.
Can you hear me? No? How about now? Now? Now?
Yeah.
All right. I know I'm going to turn on this. All right. And I need a lesson, quick lesson.
Forward, back, and laser.
All right. I think I can handle that. Okay, I appreciate you letting me talk about this, I think, because this presentation is full of questions, no answers, and it's basically a chronology of what happened when we found Phytophthora harbinalis in South Carolina a couple of months ago, so don't expect answers. If you are familiar with Phytophthora harbinalis, you probably have an opinion yourself or a question, so as many chairs there as there are out there, there's probably as many questions and opinions too. So here's one of them. The interception of this was just a routine inspection of a pier shipment from Oregon in March of this year. At that time, we had South Carolina had a regulation where we were notified of shipments of post materials by Phytophthora remora, and our inspectors met those shipments and looked over the plants to make sure that they weren't symptomatic. And in this particular case, this is kind of raining, isn't it? Is it okay? In that particular case, our inspector, who happened to be the one we called the Phytophthora whisperer, I could just see it anywhere, he happened to see some lesions on the leaves. And he did a field ELISA test, and it was positive for Phytophthora. So, as we always do, we took foliar and soil samples and took it back to the lab for PCR analysis. Real-time PCR analysis in our lab was negative for Phytophthora remora, although the DNA was amplified. It was not up to the level that showed a positive according to the USDA protocols. Since we had, our lab was not a certified lab for peer remora, so since we had an ELISA positive, we had to, according to protocol, send it to the Delta lab. So we sent it to the Delta lab, and that was also negative for peer remora. Well, we also always in our lab do a culture of any Phytophthora, and so the morphology of the culture was not peer remora or any other Phytophthora that is known to exist in South Carolina. So this was starting to be a little mystery to us. When Kurt Coburn, who's our molecular biologist in the Department of Plant Industry lab, couldn't identify it himself, we sent a subculture over to Steve Jeffers' lab, who's on campus at Clemson, and he was unable to identify the morphology of the Phytophthora. So at that point, we said, okay, Steve Jeffers can't identify this Phytophthora. We have a regulatory, Phytophthora regulatory significance to South Carolina, or at least regulatory concern. So at that point, we requested the DNA, we requested the Delta lab of USDA to do a sequencing of the DNA of the Phytophthora, and it was confirmed as Phytophthora harbinalis. Of course, you know, all of us got on our computers immediately started looking it up and trying to figure out what exactly that was. Steve, of course, was familiar with it to a certain degree, but those of us who are more regulatory and were not as familiar with it. And the next step, of course, this was on PH, which is, it has not been detected on in the U.S., so the next step would, of course, be to do Koch's postulate, which is probably going to be done in South Carolina as well. Bicoprohydranols have not been found in South Carolina before. This is just some of the information to, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, like I was not. It had been around for a long time, not in the U.S., but it was reported on citrus in 1925 and other areas of the world. It causes a disease called citrus brown spot around rot, and it does cause lesion on the leaves that look, to me, identical to Phytophthora. It is a regulated pathogen in Korea on citrus, and it was first reported in the U.S. and California and Oregon in 2005, so it's not a terribly old pathogen in the U.S. It's been detected fairly recently in the U.S. One of the issues with it is that it cross-amplifies with Phytophthora remorum and Phytophthora literalis, so you can get some false positives for P. remorum in the lab. And that's caused some issues in the past, I understand. Now, some of the issues that came to us, because this lot of shipment that was at a nursery, and the nursery owner, of course, wanted to know what he had to do with these plants. And so as a regulatory agency, our question was, you know, what do we tell this nurseryman? Because we don't want to let this new previously not found in South Carolina, we didn't want to let this new Phytophthora just be sold in the state, but we also don't want to hold up the sales of a nurseryman's stock for no reason or for a long period of time. So we had to consider what the regulatory issues were. And as Tom mentioned earlier, as Tom mentioned earlier, this is regulated by USDA, so it's not regulated by USDA, so we don't have any protocol to follow. So what do we tell the nurseryman? Well, we issue the stop sale. Okay, this is going to be hard. I'm from the South. We don't typically talk fast, so this is a challenge. Since it's a foliar Phytophthora, it's not just another Phytophthora, so we have to consider it a little more serious than if it were a soil Phytophthora. So, we, you know, looking it up, it's not widespread in the nursery industry, as some folks that I talked to had said, and I did talk to a lot of other people in other states, and I talked to foresters, and some of you in here have gotten gotten emails from me asking for your input. So, I requested from USDA a new plant advisory group evaluation, and a lot of you in here, if you haven't already done requests for input on that, you will. This isn't because I necessarily want USDA to regulate this. I don't. I don't necessarily plan to ask the state of South Carolina to regulate it either. I think we have some problems, a lot of problems with Peter Moore being regulated, with the regulations being written poorly and implemented not in exactly the right way. And I think the last thing we need is just to rush headlong into another regulation. So I think what we need to do is just step back and evaluate this very carefully, and that's what we're trying to do in South Carolina. Okay, so these are our concerns. And I've mentioned some of them already. It's a foliar Phytophthora. If Steve Jeffers can't identify it, it is a regulatory concern. It's never been documented in the East before. One of the big ones is we don't know the biology and host range of this fully. A lot of people that talk to me said, oh, this is what it is. You know, this is the way it acts, or this is how we know it would behave under these circumstances. And I just don't think we know that about this pathogen, so I'm very hesitant to just accept a blanket statement like that, because I think we made that mistake with Peter Moore. One of my learning from history is we have already had an issue with another citrus pathogen in South Carolina. We have HLB, and we spent last year, as Sherry can tell you back there, we spent 6 weeks in Charleston and Beaufort doing a survey. And I mean, we don't even have a citrus industry in South Carolina, so I just assume not get mixed up in another citrus pathogen in South Carolina. And then, once again, there are some issues with not exactly knowing what this pathogen can do. So that is the situation. We're gathering information. I don't want USDA or the state to rush into a poorly written, poorly implemented regulation. On the other hand, I don't want to blow this off as something just a minimal concern. So do you have any questions? And again, I'm probably not going to have any answers. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say that the reason really when we asked Crystal to come talk about this is we think it brings up a lot of limitations of our system. You know, we have so many unknowns. And so really the next hour now we have a chance just to discuss, kind of think about. So anyway, go ahead with questions.
I thought you were going to give me an award.
My counterpart in Oregon, he notified that nursery. Our nurseries know, but it's a regulatory issue, and we don't release that information.
Krista, how far or how long ago did you send that to the NPEG?
It was actually, Russ was over here a minute ago. I called him like the next day, and he called me back with like six people in his office on a conference call. And we asked for that the next day, but I've already gotten a call, so that MPAG has been initiated. It's supposed to end by August 6th, so it's in line. There are several other things ahead of it, and it's not, USDA doesn't consider it a really high priority, but it is scheduled to be over by August 6th. Anything? Scott?
Crystal, did the symptoms look exactly like normal?
It was just foliar lesions, and there weren't a lot of them. Again, these plants had been inspected before they were shipped, so the lesions would have developed in transit, so there weren't very many lesions at all. And the inspector is just, he is really a super phycophthora inspector. So there were not very many lesions, and I am not the best person. Sherry, can you add to that at all? Wherever you are. Did you leave? She left my presentation.
We had the shipment that came in, and there were, I think, like 51 gallons, maybe 25 gallons, and of all of those plants, three of them had lesions. So it was not widespread, and it was just basically tipped out.
Sherry Altman is our survey coordinator.
Here, certainly in the southeast, and normally what we see are Pseudophthora and Pseudotrichola. They hammer here, particularly in our state, because we're a little bit too warm for growing that plant. It likes a little higher up in the mountains. So it's very common to see Pyphophthora area wide on Pieris. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to be one of those two other species. We do find we're warm some of the time, but this is by far the first time we've seen this one.
Just curious, did you notify the regional lab for the NPDM?
Well, in South Carolina, we are a strange, strange state in so many ways. But the Agriculture Regulatory Agency is part of the Land-Grant University. So the NPDN lab is also the state regulatory agency lab, and it reports to me. So, yeah.
Okay. pathways, not individual pathogens, were always going to be behind the ball.
Well, I think with Steve Jeffers in the state and Steve Oak just a mile above the state, North Carolina state line, and graduate students covering our state, and you know, our inspectors out there, I think we have probably looked at as many places in South Carolina as can be looked at. I mean, we look for this, we test for it, we double test for it. I mean, we really, really look. So we find it too, unfortunately.
Thank you, Crystal.